Top stories this hour, another deadly day for NATO troops in Afghanistan. Three more soldiers, including two Americans, die in the country. In Egypt, several thousands protest against what they call authorities' systematic use of torture. In Italy, tens of thousands march across the country to protest at the government's austerity measures. And in sports, day 15 of the World Cup, Brazil and Portugal make it through the next round. Ivory Coast and North Korea are eliminated. You're watching World News here on Press TV. Many thanks for joining us this hour. Well, our top story comes out of Afghanistan, as it's been another deadly day for U.S. Troops there. Three soldiers have been killed in separate incidents in east of and south of the country. The International Security Assistance Force, ISAF, says one U.S. soldier was killed in a militant attack in eastern Afghanistan. The second soldier, whose nationality has not been revealed, was killed in a bomb attack in the south. Another U.S. trooper died in an explosion in the south of the country on Thursday. ISAF has withheld other details of the incidents. June has been the single deadliest month for foreign troops since the U.S. invasion in 2001. 83 soldiers have been killed so far, around half Americans. More than 300 foreign soldiers have been killed in Afghanistan so far this year.
Afghan officials sources here in Kabul say that the usage of weapons from IEDs to sniper fire and rocket-propelled grenades by the Taliban militants against the U.S. and NATO forces across Afghanistan has reached to a record level this year in Afghanistan. But analysts who believe that the death toll of foreign troops will keep rising in the months to come, they maintain that these deaths happened and these soldiers actually have died because what they say, the misguided aims of those in power in U.S. and Britain and other foreign countries.
Well, meanwhile, the U.S. President Barack Obama insists the resignation of U.S. top commander in Afghanistan, General Sandy McChrystal, has been the direct result of his controversial remarks. But the campaign in Afghanistan might also have its own undertones. Here's more.
The issues with General McChrystal that culminated in my decision yesterday were not as a result of a difference in policy.
We are in full agreement about our strategy.
What we saw yesterday was a change in personnel, but not a change in policy.
General McChrystal's resignation has raised serious questions about the success of the U.S. war strategy in Afghanistan. Although the man sitting in the Oval Office seems to be struggling to hide possible rifts on the war among his team, but facts on the ground speak of things going wrong with the strategy. In a leaked cable last November, U.S. Ambassador to Afghanistan Carl Eikenberry gave his superiors his assessment of the strategy in the country. He said sending additional forces will delay the day when Afghans will take over and make it difficult, if not impossible, to pull out troops from Afghanistan on a reasonable timetable. He also said the new strategy would make Afghanistan more dependent on the United States. And he finished saying more troops won't end the insurgency as long as Pakistan sanctuaries remain. Learning about the cable, General McChrystal said he felt Eikenberry had betrayed him. However, both men appeared before Congress a few months later and supported the counterinsurgency strategy. Another area where U.S. officials are not in agreement is the deadline set for the withdrawal of U.S. troops from Afghanistan. Last week, Defense Secretary Robert Gates said that July 2011 deadline could not be met. Hours earlier, Vice President Joe Biden had said U.S. troops would leave Afghanistan in large numbers in July next year. Obama has sacked two U.S. generals in Afghanistan in just over a year. NATO forces are having their bloodiest time there, and the operations in Helmand and Kandahar provinces are not going anywhere fast. Could it be that the U.S. has got itself into another fine mess in the region?
Everything has gone consistently wrong these last 8 or 9 years. It's a straight-line trajectory. If you think back 7 years ago, they had a total of 15,000 troops in Afghanistan, and Rumsfeld kept saying the main strategy is to build up the Afghan forces. 7 years later, They have 10 times the number of foreign forces, and they're still saying the main strategy is to build up Afghan forces. So it's just a continuum. It's a straight line.
Well, Afghan officials say a suspected Taliban insurgents have killed 11 civilians in the south of the country. According to police in Uruzgan province, the civilians were traveling in an automobile when they were stopped and beheaded by the attackers. Police say the victims were simply civilians and had nothing to do with the Afghan security or any foreign forces. A Taliban spokesman has reportedly said the victims were linked to the Afghan government. Civilians are the usual victims in the U.S.-led war in Afghanistan. However, the latest incident has been described as unprecedented. Well, in Egypt, thousands have taken to the streets to protest what they call the systematic use of torture by police. Well, protesters in the port city of Alexandria demanded justice over the killing of 28-year-old Khalid Said. He was allegedly killed this month after police arrested him. The demonstrators were joined by former Atomic Energy Agency Chief Mohamed El-Baradei, who represents several Egyptian opposition parties. The police say, according to autopsy reports, Khalid died of suffocation when he tried to swallow a pack of drugs. Khalid's death has sparked protests this month, some turning violent. Opposition parties have used Khalid's case to press for more democracy in Egypt.
We are here to announce our objections to what happened to Khalid Said, to emergency law, to torture, and against not giving Egyptians their rights. We are pro-democracy.
The fallout from the austerity measures introduced by Berlusconi's government in Italy has extended to the entire country. The Italian General Confederation of Labor called a general strike on Friday to protest the new financial cuts.
The strike affected both the public and private sectors, with transport grinding to a halt and state employees downing tools for the entire day. Large cuts to spending in local government budgets will affect the general public right across the board. And the presidents of Italy's regional administrations have called for with the Prime Minister to illustrate the impossibility of funding services such as local transport, policing, water supplies, health, roads and environmental protection. In the private sector, the cuts will translate into loss of jobs and lower salaries for workers. Although both the governing coalition and opposition parties have presented to Parliament over 2,000 amendments to the financial manoeuvre, Finance Minister Tremonti has ruled out any major changes. Some point out that if the aim is to reduce public expenditure, more could be done, for example, with regard to the armed forces.
No one knows, but Italy is going to spend 15 billion euro for 131 jet fighters that our country has no need for. If we are to save money, we should start by slashing the military budget and investing that money in services for the country's citizens.
The ruling majority believes the motives behind Saturday's protests are purely political.
To criticize the maneuver prior to its being voted in Parliament is a pointless exercise. This is a propagandistic stunt by the opposition and the unions, nothing else. And the problem remains. We have to reduce public expenditure if we want to make it through the financial crisis.
Whether the general strike will change government policy or not, the mood of the country is clearly hostile to the measures adopted by Finance Minister Giulio Tremonti, and the reality of Italy's economic situation can no longer be glossed over. Matthew Stevens, Press TV, Rome.
Leaders from the Group of Eight, or G8, are meeting at a lakeside resort north of Toronto, Canada. The group consists of Britain, Canada, France, Germany, Italy, and Japan, Russia, and the United States. The talks are mainly focused on global economic recovery and problems facing poor countries. Canada is pledging nearly $3 billion over 5 years to help boost child and maternal health around the globe. Canada's Prime Minister Stephen Harper hopes the pledge will encourage a flood of donations from developed countries Meanwhile, the G8 is under fire for failing to meet previous aid promises. It is also facing pressure to meet the 8 so-called Millennium Development Goals. Experts believe those goals are almost certain to be missed. Well, you're watching World News here on Press TV. It's time for a quick check of the headlines this hour. Another deadly day for NATO troops in Afghanistan. Three more soldiers, including two Americans, die in the country. In Egypt, several thousands protest against what they call authorities' systematic use of torture. In Italy, tens of thousands march across the country to protest at the government's austerity measures. And day 15 of the World Cup, Brazil and Portugal make it through to the next round. Ivory Coast and North Korea are eliminated.